Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Chris DeMakes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Chris DeMakes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today, such as Liz Stokes of The Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, man, I gotta hear that. Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Chris DeMakes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts. And new episodes come out every Monday.
Chris, we are back with another March Madness episode, and it is the Final Four is about to become the finals.
The championship. The championship match.
So, you know, if we did this the way we've been doing it the past weeks, this would be like a 3-minute episode. So I think what I want to do is look at all the competitors one at a time. Before I give the results. So first up, we got the matchup of Green Day Basket Case versus the Beastie Boys Sabotage. Let's hear some pros and cons for both over there.
I mean, we kind of said this last week. I think we agreed on this, that the Beastie Boys Sabotage is a little more raw of a song, but Basket Case is kind of the song that, well...
Could you argue that Basket Case might be the most important punk song of all time just for, like, what it did for the next 30 years that came after it?
Was it? I guess it was the one, right, at that time.
Like, Longview was first, yeah. But I don't think Longview was the hit that Basket Case was.
Right, and When I Come Around was after Basket Case.
Yeah, When I Come Around was the last single off Dookie.
Yeah, I mean, what I would probably say is that Basket Case is maybe a more important song in the grand scheme of things, like for Green Day and for like punk music in the mainstream. Whereas Sabotage, I don't know if it's even the most important song in the Beastie Boys catalog. Probably not.
No, I would. I think what I would say on the pro side, if we're talking about a song representing a band's career in catalog, I think Basket Case is a good representation of what Green Day's overall sound is. I don't think Sabotage is a good representation of what the Beastie Boys' overall sound is. It's way more of an outlier of their genre.
Yeah, definitely. I was on the fence. I voted for Green Day, even though I was like, man, it'd be pretty cool if the Beastie Boys won here. But I just couldn't. I couldn't click for the Beasties on this one, man. I don't know.
All right. Well, neither could most of our audience. But it was not a landslide here. We had 100 votes on this particular bracket. Green Day, Basket Case, 56% of the vote, 44% of the vote going to Beastie Boys, Sabotage. So it was close. There was times, Chris, I check this every morning. I would say we released this on Friday. Up until Tuesday, every time I checked, it was either 50% to 50% or 51% to 49%. It was only towards like the Wednesday bracket where it started to have a little bit more separation. It was anybody's game until this moment. So Basket Case is going forward into the finals. Pasa, I'm assuming still your number one seed.
Yeah, I mean, I think my odds were pretty spot on because the Beastie Boys did give them a run. I knew that their odds couldn't be as long as they were before when I saw that Green Day didn't win by as much as I thought they would the last round. And the fact that the Beastie Boys just dominated in that round. So, you know, yeah, I got to see who they're up against. I can take a guess of who they're going to be up against and then try to figure out the odds here. But yeah, I mean, this is what I thought. And no, I didn't think it was going to be a landslide. This is about right. I would have guessed somewhere in this range is what they would have won by.
All right. And then our second matchup was Counting Crows, Mr. Jones versus Ace of Base, The Sign. Now, in the comment section of the One Hit Thunder Facebook page, and I think even on the Krista Makes Facebook page when you shared this, a lot of love still coming for Ace of Base. A lot of people calling Ace of Base the team that's going to win the whole thing.
I didn't see it at all. Like, I mean, obviously, I've gone on record saying it a lot of times that August and Everything After is my favorite album ever, front to back. I'm not saying Mr. Jones is even my favorite song on the album, but Mr. Jones is the song. I mean
it's easily their most known track.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of the only two true pop songs on August and Everything. But yeah, I agree with you. It's not the best track. I mean, I'm a big fan of A Murder of One. I'm a big fan of Round Here.
Yeah.
Like,
and it
like
begins.
There's a lot of great songs on there, but I mean, Mr. Jones is this like, it's just like lives in your brain all day long, but you could say the same about Ace of Base. Like the amount of times that I have in my life made a reference where someone has said something about seeing a sign or that like when they were going through a breakup, they saw the signs and I immediately chime in with, did it open up your eyes? Like,
sure.
It's one of those catchy choruses. And I believe when we did the episode in the green room at Asbury Park, Paul and Corey both chimed in that like when they tried to cover this song.
Yeah, we tried to do it in Punchline.
That it was a lot harder than they anticipated just on translating that from what it was to like a good rock song.
Yeah, there's not a real clear-cut way to do this in a way that's not the way Ace of Base did it. It doesn't translate to rock very well. I mean, I think we for a second tried it like reggae, and then we were like, no, this is lame. We can't do this. This is stupid.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think that Ace of Base would still be this far if we picked one of the other two singles that they released in 1994, which was All That She Wants and Don't Turn Around?
No.
Or do you think it's specifically this song? This is the song that people are fighting for.
This is the song. Yeah. They're not going to be taking All That She Wants Is Another Baby song this far. Or Don't Turn Around. No way. This is the one. This is both of these groups. This is the song. You know, they both have...
Yeah.
Counting Crows has a lot more hits than Ace of Base does, just a longer career of hits, but this is both their most defining songs. So
yeah. I mean, I would argue that if people haven't really dove into the Counting Crows catalog, they're missing out because I think that their first four albums is a pretty solid run of records.
Oh, like, yeah.
August and Everything, Recovering the Satellites, This Desert Life, and
Hard Candy.
Oh my God, I'm blanking. Hard Candy. Those four albums are all pretty. There's very few skips on those four albums for me. Those are really good, well thought out records. And Ace of Base, I mean, Ace of Base, I do think that All That She Wants is a good song. I think Don't Turn Around is a good song, but it's not The Sign. And all they really had was their follow-up album had their cover of Cruel Summer and Beautiful Life, and then they kind of vanished. How do you think this played out, Chris? Because like I said, there was a lot of chatter that people thought Ace of Base was going
on. Oh, man, I got it. In my heart of hearts, I got to believe that Counting Crows ran away with this one. There's just so much more heart and emotion in Counting Crows. I could see some people being annoyed by Adam Duritz's voice. I think I've seen that before, not in the circles I run in. We all love the guy. But I could see that being a complaint. But no, I got to think that Counting Crows took this by at least like 66%. I think 2/3 of the votes had to go to Counting Crows.
Chris, that is incredible because it literally was 66% for Counting Crows, Mr. Jones.
Man, I'm good.
66% to Ace of Base is 34%. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we got to talk about this. The final matchup, Green Day Basket Case versus Counting Crows, Mr. Jones. And I can kind of see, I can see two different ways that this goes, man. I can see this being, you know, Green Day just takes the win, or this could be one of those situations where people love both songs and they go in to vote and they assume that a lot of people are going to vote for Green Day. So they throw their votes onto Counting Crows and almost tip the scale through that. Or that these, I mean, Counting Crows has won 3 or 4 matchups now with a very wide margin, a wider margin than any of the Green Day wins. So maybe Counting Crows just takes it.
Well, I got to tell you right now, I've been thinking about the odds and
I was going to ask you that next. What's the, if I had $100, what am I looking at here?
You're looking at Green Day at -130. You got to bet 130 to win 100. Counting Crows at +110. So it's pretty close. 100 wins you 110, or you got to put up 130 to win 100 on Green Day. And I got to tell you, I'm going to show my cards right now. I'm voting for Counting Crows in the finals.
I think I might do the same, honestly. As much as I love, I mean, Green Day is legitimately in my top 5 favorite bands of all time. But I don't know. I kind of want it to be Counting Crows. But again, it's not up to us. Our votes, we put 2 votes in this in this bucket, and the audience controls the rest of it. So I am really excited to see what happens. Chris, until this morning, didn't know what we were going to talk about after this, because we don't really have anything to promote on either side. And then I woke up to about a million different posts of an unexpected cover song that happened last night.
Oh, man, my phone started blowing up all at the same time last night from when we're recording this. I should have went to that concert, I guess. But, you know, they could have picked up the phone or sent me an email or something and invited me. Like, okay, what we're referring to is last night Fall Out Boy played Pittsburgh at the PPG Arena and covered Punchline Heart Transplant. Well, Patrick did on piano. And I got tons of videos and, you know, tons of whatever. Like, we posted the video of it on our socials and it's like, so many comments and reshares and likes and whatever. Yeah, I mean, that was pretty unexpected. It's like, it's so crazy and funny because it's like, I haven't talked to those dudes in forever. Like, and you know, I don't know. I it's awesome. It's great. And I thought one of the funniest and coolest parts of it is there's so many videos that people tagged us in, and pretty much every single one of them, Patrick's at the piano and he's talking and he starts like insinuating like, hey, we used to play with this band. And so many of them, you hear somebody who's filming it going, oh my God, is he talking about Punchline? And then he says it and then the people scream and, you know, some of them people are singing along and stuff. But yeah, it's pretty wild. What did you think of that?
I mean, I think my honest opinion was just like thinking about you and the friendship that I've built with you over the last 4 or 5 years and knowing that the topic of Fall Out Boy is kind of a bittersweet one sometimes just because it's like it's hard to not think of them being the band that has the career that you had hoped you were going to have. So to have this moment out of nowhere that kind of is a reminder that, like, at a minimum, Patrick Stump still remembers and thinks fondly of you guys.
Well,
like, that has to feel good.
I think it's very cool. It's very nice. And hey, we got a bunch of action shows coming up, and a dude from one of the biggest bands just covered, like, that video could have
covered
some
the biggest song. Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
No, that's pretty cool.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, cool. Chris, we'll be back next Friday with the results of the finals.
Yeah.
And maybe, let me pitch this to you. Maybe before we give the results next Friday, we do like a mini version of One Hit Thunder for both songs. You know what I mean? Like, okay. Like, do the same level of research we would do for One Hit Wonder just on those two songs, and do like two, like, 10-15 minute episodes of One Hit Thunder combined into a 30-minute spectacular before we reveal the results. What do you think? I think that could be fun.
I love that. I mean, I don't think people really need to know the history of both bands, but the history of the songs. Anything we could find out about the specific songs that people might not know, I think that would be fun. So let's do that.
All right.
Cool.
That's the plan then. And we'll be back on Wednesday with just a regular episode of One Hit Thunder.
They're never just regular. By now, I'm sure you've at least heard about Factor, but if you haven't tried it yet, let me tell you, as a guy who loves it, now is the time. Enjoy stress-free dining this spring with Factor's chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals that are ready in just 2 minutes. With 35 weekly options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie, plus over 60 add-ons, you'll stay fueled and feel fantastic all day long. Don't wait. Fuel up for your spring goals today with Factor. Factor offers you chef-prepared meals ready in just 2 minutes, so you can spend more time doing what you love this spring. Indulge in gourmet options like filet mignon, shrimp, and fresh veggies without the hassle of prep or cleanup. Customize your weekly meals to fit your schedule perfectly and enjoy the convenience of Factor's no-fuss, no-mess approach. Plus, you can celebrate Earth Day all month long with Factor's low-carbon footprint options. Factor is your go-to solution for fast, premium meals, eliminating the need for cooking and empowering you to savor every moment. So head to factormeals.com/onehit50 and use the code 150 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code 150, the words one hit and the number 50, at factormeals.com/onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Welcome to us talking about our podcast for a minute.
What's the name of that podcast?
That's Axe to Grind. And right now you're going to be getting a little taste of it, right down to the shaking microphone and all.
And my name's Bob.
And my name's Patrick. And usually we're joined by Tom.
Tom's the best. Tom has a real grown-up job that requires him to be at work. But we talk about decidedly not so grown-up things like
hardcore music and things that people that like hardcore music tend to like.
So that could be the latest shows, revisiting classic material, talking about the new classics, all the little dorm room nonsense that you imagine from a niche music podcast that you either love, want to love, or hate.
Yeah, imagine all the emotions that you have towards a genre that has impacted your life. And then condense them down to an hour to 2 hours a week.
So triangulate your speakers. Think about jumping off the bed, singing along, dancing like an idiot, and listen to Axe to Grind podcast.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan. And this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the corner of Gray Street.